Thank you. Thank you. I am so delighted to share with you today what God has put on my heart. And I want you to know that as I seek God for what I should share with you, I wrestle with it, I struggle with it, I practice it for weeks and weeks and weeks, because I have never been a quote-unquote speech giver. I can only share what's rolling and rumbling inside of me. And as the music, as Craig said, is absolutely awesome. Wonderful words that God gave. And our prophet came up here and took a whole bunch of flowers that represented different countries and threw them on the floor, indicating we're ready for a harvest. And we are. Are you? Do you want to be part of it? It looks messy with all these things up here, and I appreciate others' hearts that have a heart for order like I do. But as different ones have tried to clean it up, I said, no, don't clean it up, because it will be part of what I want to say. God brought a man here many, many years ago, kind of the same time he did us from Atlanta to Dalton. And I know that man was planted by God to be a part of this harvest. He never saw it the way he wanted to see it happen. But I heard that he preached one Sunday to a group that said they were ready for the harvest. And he said, "You're not ready for the harvest." And they were shocked because they thought they were. And he used as his illustration, he said, if I put a whole bunch of eggs across the platform here where I'm preaching and they started hatching out, you would go berserk because they're going to make a big mess. They're going to doo-doo all over the platform. They're going to have shells all over the platform. They're going to lose feathers all over the platform, and you're not ready for a mess. Are you ready for a mess? Are you ready for God to mess with you? Are you ready for Him to mess with you and those around you in order to bring forth a harvest? If you are, let's go to God in prayer. Father God, I thank you that you see us, each one of us, the mess we are. And you say, they're my champion warriors. They're my mighty army of God that I'm raising up to take this land. So God, we present our hearts to you. We say, we give our hearts to you. And we say, please touch them wherever you need to touch them to cause us to be putty in your hand and flow with your spirit. And I thank you, God, that you're doing that. And we're going to be excited for you to stir up in us whatever you want to stir up, because we give you permission. And we ask you to give us your heart for us and for other people. And we thank you that you're doing that. In Jesus' name, amen. As you see, my PowerPoint, I'm a visual person, and pictures speak to me. And these are not pictures that I create, most of them myself. They're ones that I share and glean from the body of Christ. Chuck Pierce shared this one, saying that God is moving forward to bring triumph to each one that wants it, to be mighty champions, to access the gates of your future. And as you look at this, it looks like there's a big city here. There's a big city, but there's a gate there, and it has bars on it. And we've got to access those bars in order to access our future. But you can see behind those bars that there's all kinds of treasures. All kinds of treasures back there. Are you willing to access the gates of your future to get those treasures that God has for you? I believe every one of you here are. That's the reason you're here. We're not here to play church or to make social contacts. That does happen. But we're here because we want to know God and we want to walk with Him. And we want Him to use us as His instrument to release the kingdom of God in us, through us, and to this earth. So, what I want to talk about to talk about this morning is kingdom boundaries for 2016. What does kingdom boundaries look like? If somebody says to you, I'm going to create a boundary and you're not going to go over it, what rises up in you? Well, I will too. I'll show you. Where did that come from? That came from your old heart that's not controlled by Jesus. Because that's what sin does to us. Don't tell me I can't do that. I'll show you. And God says, I like boundaries. In Jeremiah 5:22, He says, Do you not fear and reverence me? Now, let me just clarify. We're not to be afraid of God, because God is the kindest person in the entire universe. He's the best person in the universe. He does only good things all the time. He never does a bad thing to anybody. All good gifts come from Him. He's kind, He's good, and He loves you because He can't keep from it, because He is love. So to fear God doesn't mean to be afraid of Him because He's bad. It means that if you get out of His presence, you're in trouble. And you better fear and tremble to not walk with Him. In His presence. Because it's only in His presence that no foe can withstand. No matter how tough you think you are, only the blood of Jesus at the cross has defeated the foe. So He says, reverence and fear me, says the Lord. Do not tremble. Do you not tremble before me? I who place the sand for the boundary. Boundary is a good thing. God placed the sand as boundary, a perpetual barrier which it cannot pass, and by an everlasting ordinance beyond which is cannot go. And though the waves of the sea toss and shake themselves, yet they cannot prevail against the grains of sand which God has ordained by nature sufficient for His purpose. Though the billows roll, yet they cannot pass over that barrier. Is not such a God to be reverently feared and worshipped? Do you, like I, often feel like we're just a little tiny, tiny grain of sand? And what difference could we make? He says, I have ordained those grains of sand, and the big billows can't go over if I don't let it. Our God is in control. And He won the right to control because He died on the cross, and His shed blood obtained all authority of heaven and earth. And anybody that will walk with Him will know Him. And He says in Psalm 16:5-6, the Lord is my inheritance. If you will say that, the Lord is my inheritance and my cup. In other words, I'm living for Him. Not living for my mate. Not living for my girlfriend. Not living for parents. Not living for anything except Him. The Lord is my inheritance and He's my cup. You are the one who determines my destiny. And your boundary lines mark out pleasant places for me. Indeed, my inheritance is something beautiful. God has something beautiful for you if you will let Him be your cup. If you will live for Him. If you will let His lines fall in your life, He will guide you in the paths to show you hope and a future and allow you to become what he designed you to be. I shared several months ago, starting from Isaiah 9:6, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father of Eternity, Prince of Peace. As just a brief review, our God loves you so much that he left the glories of heaven to come to live in a fleshly body like ours. Born as a child, the Son of God, and the government. The government is the same thing as the boundaries are on his shoulders. He made structures so that we can walk in paths of peace. And we, our job, it's all on his shoulders. He might allow us to cooperate with him at times, to speak into somebody's life or not. But it's on his shoulders, and that's our job, to determine what's his part and what's our part. And when we will do that, we will, as a way of life, be waking up in the morning and saying, God, you're a wonderful counselor. Thank you that you will counsel me as a way of life with the people that are acting crazy on the highway, with people that hold up the line when I'm trying to check out, or wherever you are. You will be saying, Mighty God, you are. Everlasting Father, thank you that you're my everlasting Father. You'll be living that way as a way of life. But most of all, not most of all, but equally as all, he is our Prince of Peace. Everybody's looking for peace. Sometimes we try to get it by drugs and knocking ourselves out because the pain hurts so bad we can't stand it anymore. So we dope up, drug up, whatever, to try to numb the pain. Why? Because we're looking for peace. Peace cannot be found any place except one place, because peace is a person. Peace is a person. And I've talked about this before, and the PowerPoint that I decided to use today is a picture of a tree. Now, I'm using my interpretation of it. I'm saying this is the tree of life. It's the tree of life. And if we will sit under the tree of life, whatever that looks like for you, many times on the right-hand side of the tree is a swing attached to the limbs that will never, ever fall or forsake it. And do you enjoy sometimes just sitting in a swing and gently, gently swinging? I've got a great-grandson that loves to swing on the swing in my screen porch. It has a rocking, soothing, comforting feel. So I'm suggesting, however you get in touch with the Prince of Peace, Jesus, in you, if it's going to a swing and sitting there and saying, thank you that you hold me. You will never, ever turn me loose. You're holding my weight, and I'm letting you rock me and comfort me and soothe me. Notice at the bottom of the whole thing is the Word of God, because the Word of God is Jesus written down. And God says in Isaiah that when you live by the Word, you speak the Word, it will not return to you null and void. It will do what he planned for it to do. And on the left-hand side is the Lion of Judah. The Lion of Judah that roars and takes on his enemies. And the things that would want to kill us are swallowed up by the Lion of Judah. The sign of David is hanging from the tree there. Our God came to us as a Jew, and we are grateful that God came to us as a Jew, and he grafted in us Gentiles. We owe them a debt. we owe to pray for peace for Jerusalem and for the Jews to know that their Messiah is Jesus Christ. And the pearls, you know you are a pearl of great price. Such a pearl of great price that he laid his life down to buy you back. And so whatever it takes for you to stay in that place of peace, that's your job. And you do not give your peace away to anybody. If they try to steal your peace, you shake off your feet from them and you walk away. If they are open and teachable, you embrace and love. But you do not give your peace to anyone because that's your life. And that's why you're here. So take your seat in Him and watch Him work. And that's what we want to do, is take our place in Him and watch Him work. We want to look for God's sightings where God's been working. We want to look for God's fingerprints. That, not too long ago, many people have said, darn, you ask too many questions and you want to know too much stuff. And I thought, okay, is that really right? And it does seem like that on the surface. But as I took it before God, I realized that God said, you're looking for God's sightings. You're looking for my fingerprints so that you can be excited to see how I work, because His ways are not our ways and His thoughts are not our thoughts. And when I look, and I look at Lynn in the back from Australia, we've had a heart for a house of prayer forever. But I never dreamed he would do it the way he did it, by bringing somebody from Australia. She thought she was coming for another reason. And she did, and she is. But he had bigger plans than she could ever dream of. And so our job is to look for God's sightings. And I just love to hear how people meet and what God uses to bring them together. And I just love to hear how God brought someone to Him in His kingdom so that I can just observe God's ways and say, oh, that was a God sighting. That's the wonders and the awe of my God. So I encourage you to now start looking for God's sightings. Start looking for His handprint, His fingerprint, so you can be at all of His ways and watch Him change. I shared this one the last time, last two or three times I taught. This one was from Chuck Pierce also, showing that we all have strongholds in our life. Is there anyone here that thinks you've got it all together and you're perfect? We'll have somebody stick you with a pen and see how well you handle that or something, to see if we can get a rise out of you. Because the truth is, none of us are perfect. None of us have it all together. And the quicker we see that, the freer we're going to be. And God says, I'm the perfect one, not you. I'm God, not you. Now, if you walk with me, I'll take your stumbling around, which is the best you can do, and I'll work it together for good. But I'm not looking for perfection except perfection of walking with me and letting me flow and do it. And that, and so therefore, as you see on the left of the screen is a hammer that is representing, at least my interpretation, the line of Judah, taking the word of God and matching your life up to it. And then taking the other hand, a nail or a peg, and be willing to say, I was wrong. I didn't do that right. And when you will do that, humble yourself, the strongholds start coming down. The strongholds start coming down because He is a God that loves to bring down strongholds. You know, God started with boundaries, a very few of them. when Adam and Eve were in the garden, he just said one boundary. Don't eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. One boundary. They flunked the test. They ate from the knowledge of tree of good and evil. And God knew that they needed all the help they could get. So with Moses, he did 10 commandments, saying, I love these people so much, I don't want them to fall in a mud puddle and not even know there's a mud puddle there. I want to tell them to stay out of destructive messes. So he gave us 10 commandments. These are not to rob you of fun. They're not to put you in prison. They are to relieve you and free you in Jesus' name. He loves you. He's trying to keep you from messing up. And then men think, okay, I'll take that and I'll add a whole bunch more to it. And surely we can please God. No, the law was to show us we can't do it in ourselves. The Christian life is not only impossible, you and I can't live it. Only Jesus can live it through us. To bring us to that place of brokenness, I can't do this. God, you do it through me. And so he said, okay, I'm going to take all those laws and I'm going to wrap them up in two. Mark 12:30-31. If you'll just love me with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength, then we're ready to go. We're ready to go on the race. And then turn around and the second's like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. For there's no other greater commandment. So we're to learn to love the person God made us to be. You're different from everybody else. So don't try to be like somebody else. Just frustrate you and frustrate them. Discover who he made you to be. And be that and love it and enjoy it. And be kind to yourself. And then be kind to other people. And when we do that, you can do it only through the power of God. So all of us, you're familiar with the story. If you're not, you can go back and read it in John 11:44, where Lazarus had died. Does some of you feel like you've died? And his sister says, well, he's already stinking. Do you know people that stink? God says it's not hopeless. He says, loose him and let him go. All of us are messed up some way or another. And if you don't believe it, I'll find somebody around you that's real close to you that will help to enlighten you. But God says, loose them and let them go. We are a body of Christ right here for that purpose. God says, I want to use other people in your life to loose you and let you go. And so it's an exchange. It's an exchange from the wounds we have, the unmet needs, and all of us have been there to one degree or another, or we're going to be. All of us have wounds. All of us have unmet needs. And we're a mess apart from him. But he says, if you will let me take off of you what the enemy has done and what the what you've done to yourself. Because John 10:10 says that the thief has come to rob, steal, and destroy. And he's done a job on all of us. But Jesus says, I've come to give you life and life abundantly. So we're to have an exchange for our unsurrendered soul, our wounds, our unmet needs, and to be robed with the righteousness of God. Once you accept him as your Savior, and once you bowed your knee to him and said, I want to follow you no matter the cost or the price it takes, are you immediately perfect? No. You are in him, and if you remember you're in him and you stay in his presence, you're on the way. But it's hard work. Get that in our mind. We in America don't like hard work. Some do. Some don't. There's a thing about being a very affluent that it develops an entitlement mentality. I'm owed this and this and this. No, you're not. And we, it's hard work. It's hard work. Salvation is a free gift, but looking like Jesus is hard work. Looking like Jesus is hard work. So let's get that in our mind. Everyone in us, every person has gold in them. Gold is the image of God that's implanted in you. As Gary said, we're either a champion or a champion in process. And God has given us His potential to look like Him, act like Him, walk like Him. But that doesn't come easy, because that's gold. And it's precious. And it takes hard work. It's called building character. Building character. So you'll either work now, or you'll work later, or you'll lose. And I don't want to lose my inheritance to you. And as you look in this middle picture, the one on the left is a big vein of gold. And all of us are big veins of gold. You look here in the middle, there's a lot of work to be done. This gold has a lot of mass around it. A lot of mining has to be done. And you see on the right, these miners are working together. Ladies and gentlemen, God has made us to work with each other. We need each other. I just have two eyes. God can see every place at all times, but the people He has around you have eyes to see potential in you that you don't see, or mess in you you don't see. And if we will work together as teams, doing the hard work, getting the dross, the froth, the slime, the miry clay off of each other, we will all come forth to be shining gold. I praise God that He has always given me somebody to walk with that loves God more than they love me. Have you got that person in your life? If you don't, I'd ask you to ask God to bring them to you. If you just hang out with people that have the same weaknesses as you do, let's say somebody just loves to gossip. And so they have company with gossipers because they just love to gossip together. That's not going to bring out your gold. You need to hang out with somebody that doesn't like to gossip, so they can help you not gossip. So whatever it takes, we need teams. And like I say, I praise God that He has always given me, as I look back over my 78 years, He's always given me somebody that loves God more than they do me, that will dare to speak the truth to me. And so it's exciting to see that God loves us, and He will do the hard work if we will partner with Him. Does anybody have anybody in your life that's hard for you to love? Anybody that you just like to mash the delete button, say, you know. Do you know that God loves them as much as He does you? And He wants you to love them as much as He loves you. And that's hard. That's hard. I know when that first happened to me, I won't tell you how many years, gobs. Wasn't anybody you know. And I would be so irritated and annoyed by this person. And every time I would go to God and say, God, stop that person from doing so-and-so. It ticks me off big time. Do you know what God said? He said, Doreen, that person's problem, you also have it. And I need to work on it in you first. Oh, God, this is going to be a long time. And I'd say, okay. The next time I'd come to him about this person, he'd say, unless you walk with me, you're going to look just like that. Wow, God, this is hard. But it produced fruit in me. But it was hard work. As you are focusing on the area that's hard for you to juggle, look at these jugglers up here. The juggler on the left, he's got his tongue sticking out, which means he's focusing, he's trying hard, he's keeping all of his balls in the air, and he's thinking, I got this. And he probably does. And then the one in the middle is juggling axes. And the expression on his face looks like, I'm going to die any minute. Are you living with people that you think you're just going to die any minute? And then the juggler on the right, is it that place of peace? They know that things are a mess, but they're standing on top of the world because they're cooperating with their God who is ruling and reigning. And they're staying in that place of peace. And that's what we want to do. I've shared this umbrella protection with you before. The umbrella protection outlines the boundary lines that God has to bless us. The top one is God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One under that one is the church, which is the fivefold ministry. Under that is the family, husband, wife. And under that is children. I showed this diagram to somebody I love very much one time, and they back passed out that the children were down here at the bottom. Because God loves them. God loves them. And then there's the civil authorities. But in Romans 13, 1 through 5, it says, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. There's no authority except from God. Did you get that? There's no authority except from God. And then just in the Amplified, at the end of before the end of verse 5, for conscience sake, for conscience sake. Because the way we respond to authority is the way we respond to God. If as a little kid, no one has ever told you no, I am so sorry for you. Because you've not learned character. And you've not learned boundaries. Some of you may be aware, you may not be aware of a case that's going on right now of a 17-year-old that had obviously not been told no, had more money than he knew what to do with, and had everything he wanted all the time. And he was driving drunk and killed 4 people. And the saddest thing in the world to hear was for the judge to say, he has a disease called affluenza. And he doesn't even have a conscience. How is a conscience developed? How is character developed? By learning that God has boundaries. And if you violate them, you're going to be in trouble. And parents need to learn to teach their children that their children came to live in their home, not you going to live in your children's home. And that in the family structure, the husband and wife are in charge. And ideally, the husband and wife work together to mutually submit. But if there is a disagreement after prayer, then the father may have to make the final decision, because he's been given the position of authority in the home. Now, I've already taught a lesson, and you can go back in the archives and listen to it, that when there's abuse, or you're being told to violate the word of God or your conscience, that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Daniel 3 shows how to respectfully not obey. So there are times for that. But that's not what I'm talking about now. When you are working with yourself or with other people, you need to ask yourself some questions. In the relationships that I have, do I have a God-given authority position? Like the father has a God-given authority position in the home. And if he abuses it, God's going to hold him accountable. So it's serious. If a policeman stops you, you thank him. You don't shoot him. You thank him for doing his job and trying to protect you and asking you what you've done wrong so you can correct your behavior. So you ask yourself, is the decisions I'm making from a God-given authority position, and are they given through the right relationship? For instance, as I shared with you the situation I said earlier, where every time I talked to God about this person that was very hard for me to love, he said, deal with your own self. Because if you don't deal with your own self, you're going to be worse than them, or it's bad. So it starts from the inside out. But there came a time, and don't be discouraged, 25 years later, God said, you've won the place of authority now. Now you can draw the line and say, we will not do this in my house, because you won the place of authority, because you let me work in your life. Then you have to ask yourself, does the person with whom you're dealing with won't help? They may or may not. And if they don't, you're not cooperating with God. You're just giving them a black eye, and you are stabbing them and wounding them. And so you have to ask, do they won't help? Am I in a place of authority or in my own walk to give it? And you ask them a question. Are you happy with where you are? And they say, yeah, okay, God bless you. You may ask them another question to see if they're hungry for this or that. And if they are, you take one more step to see if they want to go there. And if they don't, then you bless them and let God take care of it. And that's what I'm going to be talking about next month, is how often he takes care of it. But for right now, let's talk about Galatians 6:2. There's two kinds of burdens. As you look here, this person's under an elephant and being crushed. And Galatians 6:2 says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. All of us have crisis. All of us have traumas that many times we cannot get out from under ourselves. And it's our job to help people, whether they're in a crisis that we like or don't like, to say, God, how can I be there for them in their crisis? Or Galatians 6:5 says, for each one shall bear his own load. Okay, now, how do we get this? One says, help them. And another one says, don't help them. It's their own load. Okay, the first load was the elephant. They couldn't get out from under that by themselves. The second one is more like a knapsack. That's your own attitudes. Don't come to me and say, they made me angry. No, they might have been wrong. But what they did was stir up the well of anger already in you, and it came out. So we are responsible for our own attitudes, our own feelings, and our own behaviors. And we're not to blame anybody else with it. We're to fall on our knees before God and say, God, help unravel and untangle the mess within me so that I'm not triggered or provoked by someone else. So we then ask ourselves, when we're working with people, is this a burden or is it their own load? And quite frankly, it's not always that easy to tell. That's the reason I have people around me, because I can be prejudiced, I can be biased, and I'm imperfect. But if I have people around me that love God more than they do me, we can talk about what we're seeing and see that the way I treat others is the way I reach out to the Lord. And ladies and gentlemen, I know with almost certainty that everybody here wants to stand before Father and hear Him say, well done, thy good and faithful servant, don't we? Matthew 24 talks about that. But it says there also, Jesus said, I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was thirsty, you didn't give me a drink. I was in prison and you didn't let me out. And they said, well, when did that happen, God? I brought so-and-so to you. They didn't have giftings like you did, and you didn't like them. And you pushed them aside. And it was me asking you to be skin on for this person. Will you be skin on for somebody, even if it's somebody that you don't particularly like? It's a narrow road tension, as I said. We need the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We need the Word of God to judge that. And we need other godly people around us. I tend to be too hard on myself. That may be hard for you to believe, but I am. And I can say, could I have done that better? Is it my fault? Matter of fact, with the situation I was talking about, I knew it was serious. I fasted and prayed. God gave me His fingerprints all over the place and dreams and affirmation. But one of my weaknesses is thinking that if I share the truth, everybody, oh yeah, thank you for telling me that. I get real naive. And this person didn't say thank you. Matter of fact, all hell broke loose. And I thought I was going to die. So I go back. I did fast. I did pray. I did seek godly counsel. And I knew I had spoken the truth. But one of my weaknesses, I just want everybody to be happy. I just want everybody to be happy and love each other, and let's all just hug and kiss. Finally, I went to the person and said, I apologize for the pain I caused you. I couldn't say, I'm sorry about what I said because I knew God led me, but I apologize for the pain I caused you. It kind of sort of smoothed it over a little bit. Several months later, God slapped my hand. Flying back from California, coming across the Mississippi, He said, Doreen, don't you ever do that again. And I said, what? He said, I allowed that pain to break that person, and you apologized for it. How dare you? I said, oh no, God, do I have to go back and say, now I'm not sorry for the pain I caused, and have a second hell break out? And He said, no, I'm giving you grace this time. You don't have to, but don't do it again. Don't sacrifice righteousness for peace. So it's not always easy. But you follow the Holy Spirit as best you know how. You follow the Word of God as best you know how. You follow your community of people to whom you are accountable and vulnerable to. And God will work it for good. How do I know that? Because I know my God. Now, I want to take just 1 second. Look here at this person standing with her arms outstretched, looking into the promised land. Your promised land is before you in 2016. Do you want it? Okay, let's just take 30 seconds. What is it you've been putting off doing? Because you thought you could kick it under a rock, stuff it under the rug, ignore it and hope it'd go away, either in you or around someone else. Let's ask God to bring a name, a situation to your heart right now in Jesus' name. Father, we all need miracles in our lives and in the lives with those with whom we walk. And if you have brought to the people's mind a situation, a person, or a thing, I ask you to give them the grace to forgive and turn around and love them as if you felt it. That's called walking by faith. Because if you don't, you'll be hardening your own heart. And it'll be harder for him to get through to you. So, Father, I ask you to continue working. I ask you to continue bringing in their quiet time, as they rest, as they drive, as they're with you, what you want to do. And the final picture here shows that God is releasing a new sound. Do you want to be part of it? He's releasing a new sound on this earth. Look at the part of the earth you can see, and you see the star up there on the right. God is releasing a new sound, His light from heaven, that He wants to quake the earth. If you will continue to follow through with what He's showing you, deal with what He's showing you, you will get to be part of the harvest of that new sound releasing His light from heaven that will quake the earth. Let's thank Him. Father God, I thank You for Your heart toward us. I thank You for Your life poured out before us. And we do not want to trample underfoot the blood of the Lamb. We want to walk in Your presence, in Your light, in Your life. And if we do not know You personally, we say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. And apart from You, I'm going to hell. And I receive Your shed blood for me on the cross right now. And I thank You that You come in because You know how to clean up the mess that needs to be cleaned up. You know how to speak to me and walk with me and work things out. I thank You for what You're doing. And Father, if I don't have a heart for hard work, I ask You to cause us to want to work hard, because the treasure is looking like You and being like You and bringing a new sound to earth that will quake it, which is Your life. So, Father, we give our spirit, soul, and body to You, and we say, bind them to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that Your glory and Your will be done in Jesus' name.